times, just got down to Tesco's and the Jarvis.
Hello, Johnny. There's some fish and jammies you're wearing there. I'm down myself with just a packet of fags. Nothing else. I refuse to buy anything else in my pajamas but a packet of fags.
It's just a packet of fags, like, going down to Tesco.
Yeah, just
in my pajamas. It's lettuce in with the pajamas.
Yeah, just maybe some milk.
Maybe some milk.
Maybe some milk. But definitely some fags.
And it's pajamas.
I'd be breaking my own strict code if I bought two packets of fags and some milk. Welcome to the Vendors of Mer podcast. This is episode 7, Two Men in Their Pajamas, Consumer Products. I'm your host, Above Average J. James Story, and this is my co-host,
Andrew Tree, Johnny Kelly.
Welcome to the Vendors of the Mer podcast!
I got you back.
You did. I felt so alone. I've never felt so alone. Never.
Now you know what it was like.
I know. I thought I'd make it up for it with loudness.
Yes, you did. You kept it going. You got a nice little smooth interaction there.
Okay. Well, this episode...
Yeah, we haven't really got much of a plan, other than what you just heard. You might recognize this Flight of the Valkyries, but it is actually our first ever Delicious Link. It was an advert of topless women advertising, apparently, washing machines.
Quite possibly the best advert ever made.
We'll put a link to it in the show notes. But it is an advert in which a large group of women in red bikinis go into a plane. That plane then goes into the air, as planes are wont to do. And they all take off their bikini tops and jump out and parachute down to the ground in a massive show of washing machine technology.
Yes. Yes, right. Well, we've got a couple of things we wanted to talk about. A couple of things that are delicious, a couple of miscellaneous things. Well, just a couple of random things we're talking about before the show.
We got a call back from something that happened a long time ago. Whenever we were talking about pajamas, not just a few moments ago when we were talking.
Pajamas. This conversation, if you've heard us before, it's very one near to my irritation circuit, right behind, you know, my hatred of racism.
This was the women who go to shops and buy things in their pajamas.
Yes.
This, for some reason, really annoys James.
It's not really... I've discussed this before. If I went anywhere wearing... In some cases, not very much, but something very light and inappropriate for the daytime, I wouldn't look at everyone around me who were sort of in shock at what I was wearing, like they were dickheads. I hate the fact that I'm being forced to feel inappropriate in a shop where I am the one not being inappropriate.
But the reason we're bringing this back up is that a few days, or even the next day after we last talked about this problem, a news article came out on the BBC saying that Tesco had banned shoppers in pyjamas. And there's a little audio clip from one of these pyjamaed shoppers. Pyjamaed?
Pyjamaed?
I don't know. Pyjama-based shoppers. Night clothing enamoured shoppers. And we're just going to play that audio clip now. So, James, if you'll do the needful and bring it close to the speaker.
Closer.
You hear that slide, ladies and gentlemen? That is a low-budget...
A whole week ago, we went into Tesco's just to get a pack of cigarettes, and they refused us because we had pyjama bottoms on. And they said the pyjamas ain't allowed in the shirt. It makes people offensive, like. So,
And what sort of time of day was this?
This was about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. Right. It was early in the morning, that. But they didn't let us in. They told us, no, we weren't allowed in.
And other people say, well, why can't you get dressed? Why are you going to wear your pyjamas?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. We was only popping in for a pack of fags. If we was doing a proper full shopping, then we obviously would have went in clothes. But we only wanted fags, and they still refused us to go in for cigarettes. So.
And do you go in other shops now in your pyjamas?
Oh, yeah, we go to any other shop. You're allowed in with your pyjamas on. But, like, you used to be allowed in here, but now all of a sudden they must have new rules or something. So you're not allowed to go in there with pyjamas on anymore, which I think is ridiculous, really.
So what's the latest you've ever gone in the shop in your pyjamas?
About 9:30 at the night, about 9:30. Half 9 o'clock in the night, they let us in. And then with this new system and everything, then all of a sudden, you're not allowed in. If they see you in pyjamas, they think it's because it's offensive to people.
Can you get to their point at all?
Well, I can, yeah, in a way, but it's not as if... pajamas are there. Pajamas, or pajamas. It's like
you've got a tracksuit on now.
Yeah, these are like pajamas. They're jockey bottoms. So, like, if you're allowed to wear jockey bottoms, why aren't you allowed to wear pajamas in there? That's what I don't understand. But I've got lovely pairs of pajamas. Like when, like even though you only come to get cigarettes, but you do wear your best pajamas into the shop, obviously, so you look tidy. But they refuse you. They're allowed in there.
So you shop elsewhere?
No, I shop here every week. But if I want, like, if I'm in a rush to get something and I'm in pajamas, I'll go to the garage for a pack of cigarettes or to another shop, lad.
Well. My particular fear of bit of that is likening of jogging bottoms to pajamas. You know how you can tell the difference, love? Different departments of the store. Mm. And they don't have half crescent moons on them or sleeping sheep.
Mm. Well, we'll put a link to that story in the show notes, but we'll just read a wee bit from it as well. After we talked about people in pajamas being quite an odd sight and one that is quite nervous-making, Tesco listened to us, we think, and decided to ask customers not to shop in their pajamas, or, in fact, in their bare feet, which we didn't actually mention, so maybe they're just preempting some other bias we have against people. But, notices have been put up in the chain supermarket in St. Mellon's in Cardiff, saying footwear must be worn at all times, and no nightwear is permitted. A spokesman from Tesco did not have a strict dress code, but it did not want people shopping in their nightwear in case it offended other customers. So there you go.
Spokesman said we're not a nightclub with a strict dress code. Jeans and trainers are, of course, more than welcome.
More than welcome. So come in your jeans and trainers. If you want to come in the store, you'll be treated favorably.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was just quite interesting. We thought we'd highlight the fact that, we said something and the next day Tesco banned it.
I just thought it was strange. It's not as if a company would ever like to put themselves in the way of any form of profits or turn away customers, but obviously
it's a moral victory for James.
It's a moral victory. We work for this. Thank you. All we need to do is get the other stores to pick up on this, and we can eliminate
pajamas in the daytime.
Yes.
Although I would regret it. I would regret the power we wield. Being wielded so powerfully.
Very powerful.
Yes. Powerful comment, really.
No, couldn't be happier. Couldn't be happier. See this woman? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hurt. We can give her a name out because it was on the public news. So her name was Elaine Carmody. She's 24 and a mother of two at the Tesco. And there's a picture of her in her pajamas to give you an idea of what a woman looks like in her pajamas.
The only thing surprising me about that whole description is the fact that she's 24, sounds like that, and she's only the mother of two.
Nigh.
Like, you know, look at that. She looks like she's at least six under her belt. Or rather, pajama thing, I don't know. Anyway, enough of that. Right.
So given that we are sort of directionless this episode, we're not really confident about what we're going to talk about next.
I don't want to say it, but I think this one's going to be a kind of short one.
So bye.
Bye, cubs. Right, well, what about... We went to see Solomon Kane.
Oh, yes, of course.
We went to see... We actually had different views on Solomon Kane, didn't we?
We did have different views on Solomon Kane. I'm becoming quite the curmudgeon about reviews.
I know. It was all a well-played trick by myself. Pretended for months that I was going to hate Avatar. Johnny foresaw that and said he was going to defend it. And then I turn around and go, you know what? I kind of like it. And it just whacked. His world went out of whack in that moment.
Yeah, I decided to try and open myself up to criticizing films, and now I've become an open faucet, to use another Americanism. We've been using a few of them today. So I didn't like the film. Well, that's a basic way to put it. No, the film was all right. It wasn't terrible, I have to say.
It wasn't terrible. It was awesome!
Why was it awesome, dude?
Because it gives you the plot. I never felt at one stage that I didn't know what the hell was happening. Mm. You know, no unobtaining him here. Plus, I saw a dude decapitate a guy with a knife with three strokes.
Three strokes. I did like that.
That was funny. And then he grabbed a head and just threw it away.
Yes. I liked it because it is realistic. You're not going to chop off a man's head with a knife in one shot. And that's good that they did three.
They did.
But, yeah, you liked it for the humour. I liked it for the science.
There we go. And the film itself, I was satisfied. Basically, it fixed everything that I thought was wrong with Van Helsing. And it's very, very reminiscent visually of Van Helsing. Mm. Solomon Kane looks like Van Helsing, apart from he's not a mysterious super werewolf designed to destroy Dracula by eating his heart.
Yes, you didn't like that little bit of a plot twist there, did you?
That wasn't a twist. That was just shit to take on with Van Helsing. Van Helsing, any movie where it's just normal dude up against stupid odds against super evil and overcomes it is brilliant. As soon as you make the person special with a special destiny, it takes the magic.
Mm.
Like, you know, like a film, if you build it inherently into the plot that it's all destiny, it's fine. It's not something you just throw in the last half an hour. It's like, of course you're the super werewolf. How could we not foresee this before?
The whole
we
time never it was obvious everyone that talked to you knew.
Yeah, we never mentioned, you know, we never mentioned the prophecy before, but what the hell? You're it, ate his heart. No. Solomon Kane, just dude, fought big monster, won.
I thought Solomon Kane, too many side plots, not very, just thrown in for the sake of side plots. The whole thing, you could, again, very predictable, although not a terrible thing. I find myself, and I very rarely do, find myself thinking about something else in a number of scenes, and coming back after thinking about something else, realizing that I haven't actually missed anything of the film.
And that's why it's awesome.
I suppose it is a drop-in film.
It had the sort of...
It's a background film.
Oh, and it edited one of the best ever pieces of cinema I've seen in like the last 5 years, where Solomon Kane basically uses his own bare strength to pull himself off the cross. Like, they basically nail him to the cross like Jesus. And he just, like, pulls his hands through the nails. Oh, see? It's sort of like the anti-passion of the Christ. And it deserves an Oscar just for that.
I don't know.
Jim Caviezel is spinning in his career grave right now.
Here's that. I'm sorry, but occasionally I don't have a fuck what you're talking about. Don't have a fuck?
Jim Caviezel was the man that played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, was he really?
I did like him in The Count of Monte Cristo.
Oh.
And he's also in the American remake of The Prisoner.
They're doing that's a series?
Yeah. Miniseries.
Miniseries? Yeah.
I did read up about The Prisoner. The last episode seemed a bit weird. So
I watched the last one. It sort of suggested that it was the island, wasn't it? I don't know, it was the island. It's Lost is the island. It was the village. It sort of suggested that the village extended out to the British public at the end of that series of The Prisoner. Oh. He escapes, but when he escapes, he gets to his home and he goes into his home and it zooms out and it sort of gives you the impression that he's still in the village, but the village expands across the whole of the UK.
Oh. I just heard it was really trippy. And
it is very trippy. There's a lot of strange things that happen before he gets to his home. But yeah. It sort of had a suggestion of something.
Anyway, Solomon Kane, good, go see it.
Solomon Kane, kind of boring, sitting in the background. Not a terribly engaging film. Lots of good visuals. The acting is terrible.
The acting... What?
Just the lines were not very well.
Pete Postlethwaite hasn't acted bad in his life.
They were very obviously chosen lines, very obviously said. But it was the intent of the film to make them very obviously said, and it was just.
And Max von Sydow.
Although I did read it that it is a low budget film.
Is it a low budget?
Yeah,
I didn't tell.
Yeah, some sort of independent thing, and I found an article. I'll put a link to the show notes. Although I've still got any last week's show notes. Show notes. Hey, James, do some show notes.
No.
Just calling you out in an episode here.
I'm the talent. We'll discuss this. Talent. Talented man. Anyway, you were reading what?
An article, and the article said that it was a low-budget film and that they've done a lot to get the visual effects in there. And it doesn't look it, it didn't feel it, and I was quite surprised to learn that it was. And that does sort of change... a little bit of my thoughts towards it, because once they are low budget films, some of the acting does go to subpar standards.
I couldn't tell for a second that it wasn't a studio piece. I came out satisfied that I'd been entertained.
I might be wrong, but it's my impression from something that I read that that was the case. I will double check, and if I find the article, put it in the show notes. Anyway.
Street View. I was impressed by Street View today. We brought up Street View.
That is Google's service, Google Street View, in which you can view the streets in which you want to see, like your local city or town.
I gave Johnny a virtual tour of Edinburgh today. I was just literally shocked out of my shoes how good it was. I didn't expect it to be that good that quickly, really. I didn't think it was going to... Yeah, and the flexibility and the way the system works, it's just... I was amazed. It's amazing. And that's how... You know, go out there, use Street View before Apple sues Google and all companies ever connected with Google and the ability.
Oh, yeah. Apple's just recently sued HTC, the manufacturer of the Google Nexus 1 and other various Android phones. And they're claiming that they have 20 patents, or patents, as you would say in America, that cover the functionality of the phone in its software and hardware design. And they say that they're going to enforce them and possibly try and get the phone stopped being able to be sold in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
That's sad. Why don't they aim at a real target, a phone that deserves not to be released, and you know, go after the Windows Mobile 7 phones?
Oh god,
fucking Tiles!
I like the Tiles.
You're the only one, Johnny.
I'm not the only one. If you listen to Buzz Out Loud, Twit, and MacBreak Weekly, they do talk about it briefly, and each time they say they like the design, they like the way it's going, and they like that it is different from an iPhone, more modern design. But you don't like. More modern design. Yeah, you don't like the idea of things being defined as old-fashioned or classical. You don't like that. Because why is that so bad, I think was your argument.
Sometimes things shouldn't be changed for the sake of making them different.
Or new.
No, but it's not new in a good way. It's ugly. It looks annoying. It does. It literally looks annoying. In a modern HCI interface, you should be able to do everything, and it should feel natural. It doesn't feel natural. It just feels like a web page with some tiles on it, which you just have to scroll down to get to the bottom of the tiles and things like that. No, that feels like a hassle. It feels like annoyance. But I like the idea of dynamic buttons and tiles that update the show. That's not a bad idea, but it looks ugly. I've seen it working. It doesn't look, it doesn't look... natural. It doesn't, a good HCI device, and I hate to say it, I'm going to use the Apple iPhone.
HCI being human computer interface.
A good HCI device should basically be used in a way that if you want to do something, you try it, and it turns out that's the way to do it.
Mm.
It should be so natural.
And but the way they set it up is, it's we said it before, was it last week? It was, or 2 weeks ago? No, it was last 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
It was a panoramic effect. You've got an entire menu system from left to right, and you're seeing one section of it, like part of the Bayou tapestry, and you're going across left and right, slidey, 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 left to right. It's a crossbar interface, but sort of zoomed in on by the phone. I thought that was quite clever.
I didn't.
No, okay.
I thought it was stupid.
Well, I didn't like Solomon Kane.
Yeah, well... Does mean Apple Mobile 7 or Windows Mobile 7?
Apple Mobile 7?
Yeah, Apple Mobile 7. You'll see the true future of the phone when Apple Mobile 7 comes out.
We're nearly at iPhone OS 4.0. And still no multitasking.
Yeah, but it's not ugly.
So is your face.
So. That's what she said.
So what next, I wonder? In this sort of train wreck of a show?
Really a train wreck, it's just more of a discussion. At the minute, as far as comic book goes new, we've seen three of the new Secret Avengers coming out. Basically, it's the new one of the three titles. We've got not the Secret Avengers, the new Avengers, we've got the Avengers.
One of the Secret Avengers here, so they're coming. Is it your own unique work?
No. Right. Avengers by Michael Bendis, Brian Michael Bendis and John Romita Jr. is the main Avengers book. We also have the Secret Avengers. I think that's being done by Brubaker.
There is a Secret Avengers.
There's a Secret Avengers.
Oh, I thought I was mocking you well.
No, there's a Secret Avengers, and then there's the New Avengers. We've seen the first three New Avengers this week. We have Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Luke Cage. So basically, the old New Avengers are the new Avengers.
When you said the Avengers before, I had the picture of the 1960s TV series in my head. It wasn't that.
In America, that would be wrong.
That would be wrong.
I know.
I was thinking of Steed, and I was thinking of Emma Peel, and I was thinking of all that whenever you were talking about the Avengers a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, Joanna Lumley, Purdy? Joanna Lumley in New Avengers.
Oh, the New Avengers.
The other New Avengers.
The other New Avengers.
The old New Avengers.
This is going to be fun for the show notes.
Avengers!
That's something else. Anyway, time for some racism. So, in Italy, just before Christmas, I know we're going quite far back in time, even before the show was...
We had to do it, because it was too shocking not to have put on a podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to do it in an accent. I know nothing. I do not know if this is a proper accent for an Italian person, but I'm going to try it anyway.
If all is a fail, it sounds like Mario!
And Mario!
It's Mario, woohoo!
Anyway, we are going to report on a news story that happened before we were born. Not before we were born, before the show was a born. It was a news article from the 24th of December, 2009, published at 11:27 in the morning.
I don't know how good that's
morning.
Going to be.
Morning.
Morning.
That does not sound Italian.
It sounds like we're all English now. Yeah. In Northern Italy, the xenophobic political party, Lega Nord... God, that even sounds sinister. has been taking even more stringent measures against foreigners.
Measures, Tim.
Measures.
Let me read this, because you can't read.
Shut up. Solomon Kim is awesome. I'll decapitate you with three strokes from my knife.
Oh, we haven't got a knife.
That can be remedied.
So anyway, the title of the article is White Christmas in Italy, One Free of Foreigners. In Northern Italy, the xenophobic political party, Legion Nord, has been taking an even more stringent measures against foreigners, promising voters a white Christmas. Yes, this was part of a campaign that was literally called the White Christmas Campaign, in which they were going to get rid of foreign nationals in the country who were there illegally. Quite an odd story. Some of the quotes from the article include, "It's not good to see so many immigrants idling around the town square," said Michele, the owner of...
That said Michelle.
Michelle?
It's Michelle.
That's not Michelle.
It's how the...
M-I-C-H-E-L-E.
That's how the Michelle spells Michelle.
But surely that's Michelle.
That's how the Michelle smells Michelle. I think we're just going to go with that, okay?
Okay, my Michelle. So, Bar Al Centro, anyway.
He! It's not Michelle, doesn't it?
It's Mikel.
It's not Mikel.
I can... Oh, God. No budget. One second. Crisis averted. I've got the keyboard working again.
Batteries are in. Power's been restored. And Michelle is a unisex name.
I'm sorry. But Mikel, surely. It's a guy.
He's not Russian. Mikel.
Well, give me another example.
They're not talking about a former Soviet dictator. It's... What?
Like a name.
But Michelle is both unisex, both in French and Italian.
So there's could be a man named Michelle.
Yeah. Like the Ashley.
Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley's a unisex name.
It is here.
Yeah, well, like Michelle, Michelle is in Italy.
Okay.
The only difference between masculine Michelle and female Michelle is the fact that masculine Michelle has one L.
But then your Michelle has also one L?
Yeah, she was really unimpressed when I told her that.
Ah.
Your parents are idiots, said that they named you like a man.
And you wouldn't say Mikel?
Yeah.
It's a shame. I prefer Mikel.
I prefer Mikel, but it's not. It's Michelle.
Anyway, he's a racist man.
Yes. He hated the foreigners. They'd be black devils.
Yes, they...
Even though they seem to be mostly Romanian, Moroccan, and Albanian.
Mm. They didn't say anything white and made black, did he?
No, I just haven't.
Well, there you go.
That's how ignorant he is. He doesn't even care what colour they are.
Anyway.
So that sounded horrible.
One of the other racist statements here is Christmas is not a celebration of
hospitality.
I can't even read this episode.
But of the Christian tradition and our identity.
That is the purpose of Christmas, to separate and segregate the people.
No, bring them together. No, you are different from me. You must leave now.
Yes, he says that it says in this article that the government hoped to clean its civil registry before Christmas. The police will soon be paying a visit to immigrants whose residency permit might have expired. 500 in all. If they fail to show a renewed residency permit, they will be scrapped from the civil registry. While this could open up the door to deportation, the move is mostly intended as a scare tactic.
Yes, and we all know how scary Italians are.
Italian scare.
Have you ever been scared by an Italian?
I've never been scared. Actually, once. We had a systems administrator in our school called Stefano, which is kind of where I get my Italian accent. He always used to say, "I don't know anything," whenever things broke. And
is it a plug it in?
I don't know anything. Plug it in. You're on the network. I don't know anything. I don't know. Anyway, so the
try hitting a control, not the delete.
Yes, that might work. But yes, one day, Cosmic Stress Head Ben of CosmicStressHead.com, just getting another little plug in there for Ben, was playing with his friend.
Really? Can you try to make it sound less sinister?
Okay. He was in the computer room with his friend.
Mission failed.
Oh, no, he was in the computer room, and he was with someone else. I can't remember who. I was there, but it wasn't me that he was with. Anyway, this is a terrible story. The point is, they logged in under Johnny Cardi's username. Cardi J was the way it was put on the system, because you know the way they do that with computer systems, they set up your username as your surname, maybe your first initial. Cardi J. So they managed to get into his account and decided to go to a porn website just to play with Stefano a bit. And Cardi J, or Johnny Cardi, was not in the room at the time. He left his computer logged in, or they logged in, they knew his password, I can't remember. But they went to the website and then ran out of the room. And I was left as the only one there, I think. And in comes Stefano. Oh, it's Cardi J! Oh, it's Cardi J! And he walks around the room, and that was one time where I was scared by an Italian. Ben might have been in the room as well, because he remembers this happening. So he may have set it up as Johnny Cardi going to a porn website and then moving away swiftly from the computer, sitting somewhere else in the room, to have himself accosted by an Italian man.
Really?
Systems administrator. And then I heard some rumor that the song Blue by Eiffel 65. Eiffel 65?
60. Yeah. I am blue and I am
blue and I am blue. Gibberish. Yeah. Was apparently made by a group of Italian system administrators, although that's probably not true, as I was told that by Bert.
Who's Bert?
You don't know Bert.
I don't know Bert.
But he said it was made by a group of Italian system administrators.
Does Bert lie often? Or are we going to pull up Bert in his lies?
No!
Are we arguing Bert as the liar?
Like, no. Bert, you lie! No, let's not say that.
I've already said it numerous times.
No, I just don't know if he got the right information. We'll have to go check that.
Yes, but the fact that he may not have got the right information and packed it off as fact.
Passed it off as fact?
Yeah.
Like,
I may have heard somewhere that at the centre of the moon, it's just hollow with a donkey called Alfred who eats cheese. And I heard that, and that's fact.
That's a fact. Poor Alfred. Well, the moon's made of cheese, so I suppose that helps him.
That's also a fact.
That's also a fact. I learned it in the show by Wallace and Gromit.
Yep, all these are facts, people. See these?
These are stone cold facts.
Yeah.
You won't find this on Wikipedia, because it's the truth. It's the truth. Oh, dear. 40 minutes comes soon.
Yeah, seriously. We're just like Bert.
Yeah, no.
We're the node of fact.
Actually, I was talking to Bert the other day. Bert is a person who works in my building now. He is, the building I work in is a hard life on the ground.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a train.
The building where Bert lies, right?
He lies down occasionally. He's a restful man.
I've an image of Bert's Temple of Deception.
You heard his knee the other day because he was playing.
Did he?
He was playing with air rifles.
Did he, John?
Yeah.
Or did he just maybe bang it on the corner of the table with the guy that makes sound cool air rifles?
But anyway, he said that. We got a message from one of our
other... I just want the Times to be aware of this. This is the bit of the story that's true, right? This is new fact.
It's cool, some cool fact coming some your cool way.
Facts, yeah. You're learning, people. This is all for free.
Yes. So, yeah. I got a text from one of our listeners, Noel, who said that he would like to see a conspiracy episode be talked about one day where we just go through a list of... well-known or not-so-well-known conspiracy theories and then sort of talk about them, maybe debunk them, maybe go out and investigate them. I don't know. But
I don't look like Mulder or Scully.
You don't look like Mulder or Scully?
No. You could be both. I
can get both in me. Anyway.
I don't even know what to say.
Yes, you could.
Yes.
What was I going to say?
So, the truth is in you.
The stone cold facts are in me.
Yeah.
Will we publish this?
Yes.
Okay. We've made a commitment now, people.
Yes.
We are publishing our worst ever episode.
I don't think it's worse. I think we just introduced a bit more mirth and a bit less organization. Next one will
be more
organized.
A bit less organization. And stone cold facts!
Facts! Bert will be our special guest for episode 8!
Exactly. Well, not for episode 8, but he did say, whenever I told him about the conspiracy theory episode, he had a whole host of them in his mind already, and he talked about all these different videos and things that he'd watched, conspiracy series, and said that he would be very interested in coming and doing a sort of co-host Hard Light Hologram on the R spaceship. Not spaceship. Space station.
Does he listen to the show?
No, he doesn't. Yeah. I did tell him about it. I don't know if he does. Apologies to you, Bert. We do not mean to defame your name.
See, that just makes us less funny now.
Stone cold facts.
Facts!
So yes, he might join us in one episode to talk about conspiracy.
We should do the conspiracy. I will learn nothing about conspiracies. I just want to sit there and be entertained. And maybe sort of laugh at some of the crazy conspiracies. Mm. Is he a believer in them or is he just aware of them?
I don't know. He sort of had a lot of enthusiasm for them. And I don't know.
It's Mel Gibson from Conspiracy Theory, isn't it? Oh, the Jews.
Yeah. It's like Hugo Chavez talking about the earthquake machine. Just went over your head there.
Oh yeah,
bit of conspiracy theories. Him and Adam Curry from No Agenda talk about the old earthquake machines around the world. Apparently, we have earthquake machines to develop geothermal war on each other. Like we can actually cause the ground to shake and people will fire back and forth across the ocean.
Aren't the missiles just a bit more efficient?
Well, I mean, at least with an earthquake, you can blame it on the earth.
Really?
You can say, well, it's fucking, you know, it's a fault line. It's not our fault, it's the fault line's fault.
Yeah, but...
Stone Cold Fact!
But that would not require your enemy to build all his military resources on fault lines. What if they're not?
Well, you just make up a new fault line.
But that would not be sort of... Would not start happening every other week? You think, maybe my enemy has an earthquake machine.
Yeah, I suppose that is.
Like, you know, just say, you know, Russia got hit by a 9.6 with an epicenter right in the center of Moscow and the Kremlin.
Yeah, yeah, you start the question.
Yeah. This was a good weapon to build. It only cost 1,400 lives and $16 billion.
Well, you know, you can't argue with tectonic plate margins. Well, you could if there's none there, I suppose.
See, if you were going to build technology around them, why would you just not stop the earthquakes happening in California?
Yeah, they're always waiting for the big one to destroy the entire city. But it might only be the power to make, not the power to prevent.
Look. When I was a boy,
yes,
my grand sat me down to give me two pieces of advice.
And he said, one, don't cause earthquakes.
And you just killed my joke, thank you. Thank you. The other one was going to be nothing, and it was just going to be like, you know, don't fuck with the tectonic plates, boy. They fuck you up.
And do not play global thermonuclear war.
Yeah.
On any computer.
Do you, would you like to play a game?
Yes.
I think this should just have the computer go on.
Well, it did. It did the tic-tac-toe at the end of that. That's War Games, by the way. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are aware of that already, but...
The only thing with Matthew Broderick in it worth watching, bar Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off was good.
Election promised to be good with its sort of indie retro-style humour, but ended up just boring me. Anyway. Right. What else?
We're sort of in an emergency stage here.
Quick, Johnny, bring up something interesting. We need it.
Well, talk over them.
About what?
I don't know.
What do you people want from me? Why are you... You've been here for 35 minutes. Don't you have to realize that we've got nothing to say?
Today, this week, there is no show. Just content yourself with, this week, there was no show. You missed the show this week.
I'm sorry.
We were out.
I'm sorry, I lost my cool. I lost my cool.
I'm going to hit the emergency yodel.
Don't put it in the emergency yodel. Johnny, has it really come to that?
I've come to the emergency yodel.
The emergency yodel. God, no. Okay.
Oh, thank God for that.
God, I feel better.
That was the emergency yodel from emergencyyodel.com.
God, the day we installed that yodel. I was like, when are we ever going to need an emergency yodel? And you were like, Bert says it might come in handy.
That's a stone cold fact. We might run out of
content. Stone cold! And I said, well, you can't really trust things Bert say. Remember the head, if you turn a llama upside down and put a plate on one of its feet, it explodes. Yeah. And I says, there's no way that possibly could happen. But he says, like, Bert says it can. And I says, well, that's just not really feasible. Like, how does plate on llama foot actually, you know, create C4?
That's
the chemicals don't really work out.
I've never had access to a llama farm.
And then just the llamas, the poor llamas. Anyway.
This is, yeah, I can only apologize for what it is that you thought you were going to hear.
There's nothing clever about us. See the other podcasts are just a cleverly constructed deception, making us look intellectual. This is how we talk most of the time.
Yeah, well, no, we usually have some direction.
No.
Well, we have 2 minutes and 30 seconds in which to come up with a good conclusion to our 40-minute show.
I've decided to take the primary school teacher route on this one. I want to invite the audience to... get your pillows and lay down on the floor, and I think it's time for nap time.
Snap time. I love nap time.
And if you're very good, we'll make you some toast and some tea.
I don't like tea.
You don't like tea? Warm milk.
I don't like milk.
The orange juice?
Well, orange juice.
So what would you have with tea?
But not pure orange.
And if you're going to have toast, what would you have? I like slurring toast.
Sure.
White grape slur and toast, it actually goes together really fabulously.
I just sort of drink Coke or Pepsi. I'm sort of a cola-based man.
It's not a problem. I understand.
You understand?
I understand.
I'm glad somebody does.
The lines are already wiggling on the wee screen now. Can they hear us?
They can because of normalization.
Oh, okay. It's not going to be very quiet.
No, it's not, because it didn't amplify it in the audacity. So this will be equal volume to everything else.
Why are we whispering? Oh, wait. Tall buildings. Right,
Okay.
Well, we have to be quiet. People are sleeping.
No, it's okay. You can speak.
I can speak?
Yeah, they're all asleep now, and we've put earbuds in their ears.
How do we do that?
Well, what's the power of magic?
Not in a general state.
It's a so-called fact, alright?
That's fact, magic exists, deal with it!
I think I'm a three mental breakdown. And with that, we're going to end our show.
That's right, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Bye!
Geronimo.
Geronimo!
No!
That's a fart!
Worst show ever! It's a fact.
Damn right!